Staring around the room, trying to think of a kind of misfortune he hadn't yet used, Harry saw Fred and George sitting together against the opposite wall, heads together, quills out, poring over a single piece of parchment. It was most unusual to see Fred and George hidden away in a corner and working silently. They usually liked to be in the thick of things and the noisy centre of attention. There was something secretive about the way they were working on the piece of parchment, and Harry was reminded of how they had sat together writing something back at the Burrow. He had thought then that it was another order form for Weasley's Wizard Wheezes, but it didn't look like that this time. If it had been, they would surely have let Lee Jordan in on the joke. He wondered whether it had anything to do with entering the Tri-Wizard tournament. As Harry watched, George shook his head at Fred, scratched something out with his quill, and said, in a very quiet voice that nevertheless carried across the almost deserted room, "No, that sounds like we're accusing him. Got to be careful." Then George looked over and saw Harry watching him. Harry grinned and quickly returned to his predictions. He didn't want George to think he was eavesdropping. Shortly after that, the twins rolled up their parchment, said good night, and went off to bed. Fred and George had been gone 10 minutes or so when the portrait hole opened, and Hermione climbed into the common room, carrying a sheaf of parchment in one hand and a box whose contents rattled as she walked in the other. Crookshanks arched his back, purring. "Hello," she said. "I've just finished."
"So have I," said Ron triumphantly, throwing down his quill.
Hermione sat down, laid the thing she was carrying in an empty armchair, and pulled Ron's predictions towards her.
"Not going to have a very good month, are you?" she said sardonically, as Crookshanks curled up in her lap.
"Oh, well, at least I'm forewarned," Ron yawned.
"You seem to be drowning twice," said Hermione.
"Oh, am I?" said Ron, peering down at his predictions. "I'd better change one of them to getting trampled by a rampaging hippogriff."
"Don't you think it's a bit obvious you've made these up?" said Hermione.
"How dare you!" said Ron in mock outrage. "We've been working like house elves here!"
Hermione raised her eyebrows.
"It's just an expression," said Ron hastily.
Harry laid down his quill, too, having just finished predicting his own death by decapitation.
"What's in the box?" he asked, pointing at it.
"Funny you should ask," said Hermione, with a nasty look at Ron. She took off the lid and showed them the contents. Inside were about 50 badges, all of different colours, but all bearing the same letters, S-P-E-W.
"Spew?" said Harry, picking up a badge and looking at it. "What's this about?"
"Not spew," said Hermione impatiently. "It's S-P-E-W. Stands for the Society for the Promotion of Elfish Welfare."
"Never heard of it," said Ron.
"Well, of course you haven't," said Hermione briskly. "I've only just started it."
"Yeah?" said Ron in mild surprise.
"How many members have you got?"
"Well, if you two join, 3, said Hermione.
"And you think we want to walk around wearing badges saying spew, do you?" said Ron.
"S-P-E-W," said Hermione hotly.
"I was going to put stop the outrageous abuse of our fellow magical creatures and campaign for a change in their legal status, but it wouldn't fit. So that's the heading of our manifesto."
She brandished the sheaf of parchment at them.
"I've been researching it thoroughly in the library. Elf enslavement goes back centuries. I can't believe no one's done anything about it before now."
"Hermione, open your ears," said Ron loudly. "They like it. They like being enslaved."
"Our short-term aims," said Hermione, speaking even more loudly than Ron, and acting as though she hadn't heard a word, "are to secure house elves fair wages and working conditions. Our long-term aims include changing the law about non-wand use and trying to get an elf into the Department for the Regulation and Control of Magical Creatures, because they're shockingly underrepresented."
"And how do we do all this?" Harry asked.
"We start by recruiting members," said Hermione happily. "I thought 2 sickles to join, that buys a badge, and the proceeds can fund our leaflet campaign. You're treasurer, Ron. I've got you a collecting tin upstairs. And Harry, you're secretary, so you might want to write down everything I'm saying now as a record of our first meeting."
There was a pause, in which Hermione beamed at the pair of them, and Harry sat, torn between exasperation at Hermione and amusement at the look on Ron's face. The silence was broken not by Ron, who in any case looked as though he was temporarily dumbstruck, but by a soft tap-tap on the window. Harry looked across the now empty common room and saw, illuminated by the moonlight, a snowy owl perched on the window-sill.
"Hedwig!" he shouted, and he launched himself out of his chair and across the room to pull open the window. Hedwig flew inside, soared across the room, and landed on the table on top of Harry's predictions.
"About time!" said Harry, hurrying after her.
"She's got an answer!" said Ron excitedly, pointing at the grubby piece of parchment tied to Hedwig's leg. Harry hastily untied it and sat down to read it, whereupon Hedwig fluttered onto his knee, hooting softly.
"What does it say?"
Hermione asked breathlessly.
The letter was very short, and looked as though it had been scrawled in a great hurry. Harry read it aloud. "Harry, I'm flying north immediately. This news about your scar is the latest in a series of strange rumours that have reached me here. If it hurts again, go straight to Dumbledore. They're saying he's got Mad-Eye out of retirement, which means he's reading the signs, even if no one else is. I'll be in touch soon. My best to Ron and Hermione. Keep your eyes open, Harry. Sirius."
Harry looked up at Ron and Hermione, who stared back at him.
"He's flying north," Hermione whispered. "He's coming back."
"Dumbledore's reading what signs?" said Ron, looking perplexed. "Harry, what's up?"
For Harry had just hit himself in the forehead with his fist, jolting Hedwig out of his lap.
"I shouldn't have told him," Harry said furiously. "What are you on about?"
said Ron in surprise.
"It's made him think he's got to come back," said Harry, now slamming his fist on the table so that Hedwig landed on the back of Ron's chair, hooting indignantly. "Coming back because he thinks I'm in trouble, and there's nothing wrong with me. And I haven't got anything for you," Harry snapped at Hedwig, who was clicking her beak expectantly. "You'll have to go up to the owlery if you want food."
Hedwig gave him an extremely offended look, and took off for the open window, cuffing him around the head with her outstretched wing as she went.
"Harry,"
Hermione began, in a pacifying sort of voice. "I'm going to bed," said Harry shortly. "See you in the morning." Upstairs in the dormitory, he pulled on his pyjamas and got into his four-poster, but he didn't feel remotely tired. If Sirius came back and got caught, it would be his, Harry's, fault. Why hadn't he kept his mouth shut? A few seconds' pain, and he'd had to blab. If he'd just had the sense to keep it to himself. He heard Ron come up into the dormitory a short while later, but did not speak to him. For a long time, Harry lay staring up at the dark canopy of his bed. The dormitory was completely silent. And had he been less preoccupied, Harry would have realized that the absence of Neville's usual snores meant that he was not the only one lying awake.